To Jeremiah chapter 18. If you don't know who I am, I'm Ron Reasoner, Joel, your pastor's father. I'm a pastor also, and I was a missionary for 25 years. There's a book in the other room that my son bought for me out of pity. But praise the Lord. None of that money for the books goes to us. It goes to building a church building in Vancouver. We started a church there about 5 years ago. And it was Kathy and I to start with. And God, we just knocked a lot of doors. And that's still the way to build a church. And, you know, we think it doesn't work anymore. It's old-fashioned, you know, but the Bible says, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come. It still works today. It's never outdated, okay? So, but here's the thing. Even if it didn't work, even if we went backwards when we went out door knocking, I would still go out door knocking because it's a command of the Lord. And we're going to do what the Lord wants us to do, no matter what. And you say, well, it doesn't work as good as it did 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 50 years ago. That is a fact. I will agree with you 100%. Honestly, because of so many false teachers out there, Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and all the salesmen, high-pressure salesmen, I don't even like to open my door to people coming when they knock on my door. I just don't. And when they come, you know, someone will try to, a Mormon will try to talk me into becoming a Mormon. and I give him the gospel and I work with him. And it seems to me that there's not a whole lot that gets accomplished except God's word never returns void. So you got to leave them with the word of God. If they come to your house, you got to give them the word of God. And definitely put something about the blood of Jesus Christ in their mind and in their heart, because that does scare them away. Whether it's Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, if you talk about the blood of Jesus Christ and you give them the gospel that Jesus died upon the cross, that he was buried and he rose again from the dead, and this is proof that our Jesus is alive, he's not the brother of Satan, no, and you don't become a god when you die. No, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All these three are one. And it's a miracle, and it's an amazing fact, and we believe the scripture because it is the scripture. For 2,000 years now, man has been trying to find a problem with the word of God. It's been beaten on, it's been hammered, it's been knocked down, and it's remained pure and perfect. The more fire they put on the word of God, the more precious it is, because they can't find any errors in the word of God, because there are no errors. The only error that we might have is we don't understand something and we go, oh, that's got to be an error. No, that's not an error. That's an error of our understanding. It's not an error from the word of God. And I have done this thing where I've looked through a book where a man wrote about all the errors that there are in the Bible. So I went through those things. There was one particular area where I go, man, I can't figure this thing out. And that was young, and I was young in the ministry, and I thought, wow, it really makes me scratch my head. Is this an error in the Bible? Well, after about 10 years as a pastor, I understood and I found out, no, it's not an error. I understand it perfectly now. But it was just this fact of a lot of times we think something is an error because we don't understand it. And I'll give you an example. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. And then it says, bear your own burdens. Okay? It sounds, and everyone that writes these books will put this in the book. It says in the Bible, in the same chapter, bear ye one another's burdens, and then it says, bear your own burdens. Well, there's burdens that we can bear for other people, but there's some burdens that we can only bear on our own. So it's perfectly accurate, and you have to understand that. But they can't understand it because they don't have the mind of Christ. The natural man receiveth not the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. They're blind. They don't see it. They can't see it. So we have to help people. You which are spiritual, you which are saved, and you understand the Word of God, you're past the milk of the Word, you can start eating the meat of the Word. You have to help people because they can't understand it. And they'll sit on something like that, this idea of, oh, wow, it's got to be an error because it tells me to bear my own burdens. And in another place it says, bear other people's burdens, you know. And this is so foolish of people, and they don't understand it. But we as Christians must have compassion. And we must be able to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We have to be in the Word of God. We have to be able to understand these things because people today are going to come at us and attack us. Now, when I heard all the different prayer requests, what went immediately to my mind is this idea is things are getting darker and darker in this world today. It's harder and harder to live the Christian life, amen? And so there's some things that are happening right now, and I think that I want to give you just a little bit, and this part is for free. It's not part of my sermon, but I want to give it to you for free. It's in Ezekiel chapter 38, and I want you to just see a few things here. Because I've spent so long in Russia, I want you to turn your Bible in Ezekiel 38. I want to read a few things. And I want you to, because there's a group of people that is talked about as the kings of the north coming down upon Israel. Israel's being attacked from Iran right now. Y'all agree with that? Okay, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. Okay, I want to go, it says in verse 38, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, because it deals with Russia. And I spent 25 years in Russia, and so did my son Joel. And so it says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. So here we talk about this Gog and Magog. A lot of people think this is Russia and this is Moscow itself, Gog and Magog. And we can look at this idea of Meshach and Tubal, which people think is Mongolia and even China. Okay, now there's another list that goes down to, in verse 5, it says Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, and all of them with the shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah of the north quarters, and all of his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. Okay, this is a list of the kings of the north that's going to come down upon Israel in the end times, okay? Now, who is Persia? We know it's Iran. They even call themselves Persia. We call it Iran, but they call themselves Persia. Okay, and then we see Ethiopia. Okay, every time someone reads this, they go, I don't understand this. This can't be true. Okay, here's Ethiopia. Ethiopia is this poor country. What are they doing? Why are they in this list? And then Libya, we can understand something about Libya because they were in the news because of oil and their oil embargoes and all this stuff. And we understand that this is all centered around oil in the end times, okay? I shouldn't say centered around oil, centered around enemies against God coming down upon Israel. But what ties them together is this idea of oil. And why is America not in the end times? Well, that's a whole different sermon. So we'll skip that for right now. But I just want you to see who these people are. Who is Gomer? Gomer is interesting because it was a nomadic group, but they landed in Germany. Yes, Gomer landed in Germany. So right now, there is a treaty between Germany and Russia and Iran and China, okay? And they all have this oil treaty put together where they're buying and selling each other's oil. And that's an important point that we're seeing. We see Libya is also part of that, that sneaks around and buys oil or sells oil to these countries that we have embargoes on. What is Ethiopia there? Well, interestingly enough, when this war of Ukraine and Russia took place, and is still going on, it's full force right now, and we're sending a lot of money from America to Ukraine to try to keep Russia from taking it over. But what's interesting is thousands of Ethiopians went to Russia to help Russia with a war to defeat Ukraine. What does that mean? I don't know. I really don't. I just know that it has something to do with Russia. There are ties that are taking place with this oil of you've got Germany, you've got Russia, and you've got Iran. All three of these countries are tied together. And then there's a lot of oil in Libya. And there's this stuff going. And then I'm thinking, you know, as I put an overlay over the map of Ethiopia, it covered a lot of Africa. So I think there's going to be a big oil find in Africa at some point in time. And they're going to be part of this five-group kings of the north coming down upon Israel. But one thing I do know is that it's a Muslim country, and these people hate the Jews. They hate the Jews, the Libyans, the Ethiopians, the Russians. In fact, in Russia, when I was there, they used the Jewish name as a curse word. They were definitely against the Jews. So we understand that there is a battle taking place. And I don't have to say anything about Persia, because you already know about Persia. It's in the news, and they're bombing Israel. And it's interesting to note that it's the first time in history that they've bombed Israel. Okay, this hasn't happened before. So it's happening right now. We're living in the end times. And we're looking forward to, you know, Jesus Christ coming again. We're going to meet him in the clouds. And we can comfort one another with these words. So don't think it bad that things are getting darker and darker. Because it's always darkest just before the dawn. We know that there's going to be a glorious day when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds together with him. So it's coming soon. So I don't want to go any further with that, or I can't get through my message. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 18. And I'm going to go through this pretty quick. And I want to just read six verses. Can we stand together as we read this? If you're able to stand. If you're not able to, don't worry, just sit down. And it says, the word of the Lord, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time, that we'd glean from your word a special truth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. From the dust of the earth, God created man. He breathed into his mouth, his breath, a living soul. Okay, so we understand that we came from the dust of the earth. We came from clay, if you will, okay? So God will put us on a wheel to help us to grow in Christ and be molded into the image and in the likeness of Him. We're to be like Jesus Christ as a Christian. Our goal as a Christian, the word Christian means Christ-like. So God wants us to be Christ-like in the way in which we live, the way in which we act, the way in which we talk. Jesus was perfect in every way. You can't improve upon Him. I just preached a message on Sunday, the Sermon on the Mount. I called it the greatest sermon ever because it was written by God. How can you improve upon a sermon written by God? And it just shows when He preached it unto those Pharisees and those scribes, their mouth just dropped open. Like, how dare you say these things to me? Like, all the stuff that I was saying, you know, all the Pharisaical stuff I'm saying, all the posturing, all the stuff that I'm saying, you just cut it and slice it with a knife. It was like God surgically cut through the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and all the false doctrine that was going on, and He gave His truth in purity. Well, here we see that God is going to put us through a process, just like He put Israel through a process. It's His way of purifying us and refining us for His service. Now, I know all of us want to live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. We're trying to be in that image and in that likeness of God. We're trying to live a more righteous life, a more holy life. We want to be the example to the lost world. We want to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We want to be that example. But we're having a hard time doing that because the world is so against us in every way. We're punished for telling the truth. We are punished for telling the truth. And I'll illustrate this to you through, we had a lot of people from Russia, coming from Russia to America, and they went through it the legal way to go through it. Instead of sneaking across a border, they actually went through the legal process. When they did that, they got put in the back of the line to get all of their documents. It took them a year and 2 months to get their documents. Everyone that snuck through, if they went through and said, hey, I've broken the law and I'm here up for an asylum, they got their papers immediately or within 2 months. But in this case, because they did it the right way, they say, oh, we're putting you in the back of the line because you're trying to obey the law. And I think it's the strangest thing in the world that, you know, we are not taking care of our veterans the way we need to. Amen. And yet we're pouring millions of billions and billions of dollars, as much as $1 trillion. I think they've added it up right now, $1 trillion that we're paying for these people that break the law and sneak into the country. Now, I'm all for immigration. In fact, we've got a lot of Russians in our church. We've got a lot of Hispanic people in our church. But I'm not for breaking the law and rewarding it. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We can't reward this or else we're not going to have a nation. And that points us to this, why we're not found in the end times. You don't see America anywhere in the end times in Scripture. And God's word is perfect. So there's some things that are going on right now that's causing our country to hurt more and more and more because we're not standing upon the word of God like we once did. We think, oh, it was such a victory to take out prayer out of the public school. Do you realize that in the early days, the primer was the Bible? They read the Bible to teach people how to read. Okay, we don't allow that in school anymore. And you could have demonic books. You could have books about every other faith, false religion there is. But you try to put the truth in, and it's attacked. And there's just this idea about calling good evil and evil good. That's what's going on today. And you know, the parents that want to stand up for their children, they're being spied upon. They're being called terrorists, trying to take care of their children, just making sure their kids are safe when they go to a public school. So it's a dangerous time that we're living in now. And I'm living in a place that's really close to Portland, Oregon. And so, I mean, I'm within a stone's throw of Portland, okay? And it's right across the river. And we just get this stuff that is just crazy, crazy stuff. But, you know, even Portland understood when they decided that they would take off all a ban off all of drugs and everything else and said you can't be arrested for having any type of drug. Well, you know how that worked out. A year later, they're saying we've had more deaths than we've ever had in history of our young people. We're not going to have a city here any longer if we continue this up. So they turned that law around. So now they arrest people when they carry drugs. But they didn't before because they said, we just want to show how open we are and how much we want to allow all this stuff, all this evil to come in and destroy our children. We just want to show just how open we are. You can't do that. You can't allow evil to flood in and say, well, I think our people are good enough to just figure it out. No, that's not how it works. We've got to protect ourselves from this. Because if you go all the way back from, I'm going to go all the way back to the flood. You look at all these wonderful families that they had a choice to follow after God. Or go in the way of Cain and live for themselves. When they were around the evil, they chose evil. And who was the last one here? Noah and his family. You know, God allowed this world to be purged with the flood because it was so evil and so rotten. Because when we're stuck in a situation, even good, solid people, when we're put in the middle of evil, what happened to Lot? He was a god. I mean, you look in the New Testament, it says he was a godly man, or he's a man after God's own heart, or not after God's own heart, but he was a just man. Okay? But he saw that shiny city, and he wanted to run the other way. He wanted to run straight towards Las Vegas, if you will. Okay, he saw the lights and he wanted to participate in it. And that's every type of evil that was there. Because it's alluring. It's alluring to every Christian that's here today. And we have to fight against it. No, I don't want to open up the doors to have all kinds of evil come into our city. Because it'll corrupt us the same way. We'll get tarnished the same way. And you say, well, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. I agree. But the Bible also tells us that we are to abstain from evil. Yes. And flee fornication. We're to run the other way. It says flee means turn around and run as fast as you can away from it. Because there are temptations all around. And with my family, I want to have a sanctuary with my family so that they don't have to deal with all of that all the time. But guess what? They're going to go out in the world and they're going to experience evil, aren't they? You can't keep anyone from evil. It's going to hit them. This church needs to be a sanctuary. Amen. So let's look at the will. The will that it talks about here goes around a certain speed. If you've ever done pottery on a wheel, you know that there is a wheel there and it spins around with a lump of clay and the potter, and in this case it's God, he's going to make a vessel of some sort. Now, it's interesting here that when you prepare pottery, you have to go a certain speed, and it can't go super fast. Otherwise, the clay will just fly off and slam against the wall if it's going too fast. But it won't make the proper vessel. And so oftentimes we in our Christian life, we get to this point where we go, Lord, I want to do this right now. I want to do this yesterday. And God says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait on you, because I need to go the speed of the will. I don't need to speed that thing up, because I don't want to be a piece of clay slammed against the wall, okay? I want to be a vessel that the potter has made perfectly. So what it takes is it takes time to be a godly Christian. And what's the process? It's the power of the routine. And what is our routine every day? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Okay, we teach our Sunday school classes, but we've got to do it ourselves. Because it's a process of the Lord molding us and making us. So pray daily. Watch God work. Nothing great ever happened without prayer. If prayer is anything, prayer is everything. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, and they made a law against him praying. And what did he do the next day when the law came out? He prayed. He prayed anyway. You've got to obey God rather than man. If they make a law tomorrow, you can't pray. We all need to keep praying. But it's harder to do that if you don't have a routine that you're going through every day. So spend time in prayer. That just keeps the routine, the will going, and allows God to mold us through prayer and through reading our Bible. I ask people to pray, start a daily routine of prayer. And I'm not talking about the 3 times a day you're praying before breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Okay, I'm talking about a prayer time that you have with God, alone with God. Just taking some time alone with God in your prayer closet, wherever it's at. Public prayer is wonderful, but there's nothing better than private prayer with you and God, because that takes faith, and that's how you walk by faith. Okay, number 2, the potter had 2 vessels in mind any time that he created when he started working on this. He had a lump of clay over here, and he was working on that because there might be some impurities in the clay when he's working with that lump of clay. And if there's impurities, he would just take it off the wheel and redo it and have a different idea because of the texture of the clay. I did a little bit of pottery on a wheel when I was a child, and we dug our own clay out of the ground. One of the interesting things about that is the clay that we got was a clay that didn't get dried out until it was at a really high temperature. So the clay was actually more of a porcelain type. The hotter it takes for it to be cured, the better that pottery is going to be, or that plate is going to be, or that china is going to be. Because china is made out of clay that goes to a very high temperature. Now, this is very interesting. And, you know, I think that that's interesting for us as Christians to know that God may put you through some fire. And, you know, and some of us say, well, I don't want it. I don't want to go through those struggles. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're going to live godly in Christ, you're going to go through some stuff. And especially now, as dark as it is in this world, you're going to stand out like a shining light, a beacon or a torch or a lighthouse. People are going to see you and be convicted in the way in which you live. So, what am I saying? You're going to go through some fire. I promise you this. You're going to go through that. And you know, if you go through some deep, dark things, maybe your child passes away. maybe you find out you get some type of disease, and you're just like, oh, it's hit me. I've got this disease. I don't know if I'm going to survive or not. Listen, you're just being tried by the fire, and you're going to come out. If it's the hotter it is, the better the vessel is going to be in the end. The more valuable it's going to be to God. So thank the Lord if you're going through something that's really hard right now. Trust in Him. And, you know, James tells us we're to thank the Lord for all the trials that we go through. And I know, listen, God says, give and it shall be given unto you. The world says, get all you can all you get, put it in a can and then sit on the can, you know, hoard it, do whatever you can, don't give any of it away. I'm just telling you, it seems like it's upside down the way God talks. But, you know, we have to die in order to live in the Christian life. All these things are backwards from what the world teaches us. But just understand that living the Christian life is worth it. Giving yourself to Him 100% is worthwhile. Peter takes the clay, or the potter takes the clay off the wheel, puts us in a kiln, and allows us to deal with that. Paul prayed daily that he wouldn't become a castaway. The idea of a castaway is not being used for God. We all need to be used for Him. But don't be upset if you go through some difficult times, if you lose your job, because God has something better for you. Don't be upset if hard things come your way, because they will. If you live godly for Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer some persecution by people. People are going to get angry, but just keep doing it, because God is turning you into something precious. A precious piece of pottery. And it may get really hot, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't feel it when it was hot. And it was 7 times hotter than it normally was. And the people that were putting in the wood and the coal, they got burned up, but they didn't. And you're not going to get burned up either, because Jesus is right there with you in the midst. And He's going to be with you. But you have to be willing to pray this prayer. God, mold me. God, break me. God, fill my vessel. Can you say unto the Lord today, not only search my heart, see if there be any wicked way in me, but God, mold me and make me today. Because that humility of being willing to pray, just that dangerous prayer of, God, mold me and make me. God's going to use you and mold you. And yes, you may go through some fire, but on the other side, just like Job, he got a double blessing in the end. Let's stand to our feet and bow our heads.